You are listening to the Fly Fishing 97 podcast.
Yeah, like the blue dun I use right now, it's that newer stuff, so it's a little bit more blue. But what I do is I'll tie in a gray thread, and then I'll make my taper. Then I'll attach that blue dun, and it's UTC, so I'll spin it really flat and do just one wrap of that, so that gray kind of shows through. Okay. Almost. And it doesn't look as blue.
It's funny. I talk to a lot of tiers, but I can tell you tie so that you can catch more fish, if that makes sense. Like, the way you're talking about Cronman patterns there, I totally get what you're saying. You're just trying to find that, represent that, kind of just that little bit of glitter as a, you know, an emergence, as a chronomid pupa is starting to emerge and they're starting to gas up. I know exactly what you're doing there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, right. I try and tie them like as natural as I can, but there is the, you know, time and place for, you know, like a laser silver tinsel body with a,
yeah,
like a holographic rib and a white bead and maybe a little bit of hot orange on there.
The Fly Fishing 97 podcast is powered by theflycrate.com, an online fly shop. Join the Quarterly Fly Club today, your source for all things fly fishing. And Wait For It Films. For action-packed fly fishing videos and camera-related content, check out Wait For It Films on YouTube or at www.thewaitcreativeco.com. And Broken Tippet Fly Company, blog and fishing apparel and accessories. Check them out online at brokentippet.com. The Fly Fishing 97 podcast is brought to you by The Fly Crate. The Fly Crate is an online fly shop where you can save more on flies and gear. Shop between hundreds of unique flies and join the Quarterly Fly Club for hand-picked fly assortments for each season. Exclusively for our podcast listeners, you can save an additional 10% on The Fly Crate by using the code FLYFISH97. Go to theflycrate.com and use the code FLYFISH97 at checkout to save 10%.
Welcome to this edition of the Fly Fishing 97 podcast. I'm your host, Mark Hopley, and I'm super stoked you're joining us this time around. And we're going to do what we love to do, can't get enough of, and that is seek out passionate people in the fly fishing space. Find out what makes them tick and all things for the water, chasing fins, tying flies, all that good stuff. We are going to say hello to Zach Tyson tonight. We've got Zach is out of Kelowna, British Columbia, Canada. He is pro staff with Togan's Fly Shop. This guy's tying up some killer patterns in the interior. Forklift operator out at Mountain View Building in Kelowna. Zach, thanks for taking the time and sharing a shoal today. I appreciate it.
Hey, yeah, Mark. Thanks for having me.
So I always start the show at the beginning. So I assume you sound like you've been doing this most of your life, but, you know, I could be wrong. Why don't you walk us through your journey in fly fishing, Zach, kind of how you found it and when you started doing it?
Yeah, so I've been fishing for just about as long as I can remember. My family was big into, you know, fishing trips and camping, so I probably had a fly rod in my hand when I was about 8 years old, you know, just out mm-hmm. in the boat, trolling flies with dad. And, cool. Yeah, really just, got hooked from there and just kind of ran with it.
Hmm. What kind of lakes were you hitting? Can you name a few? I mean, don't give away the secret ones, of course, but,
Oh yeah, we were big, locals at, you know, like Ain Lake, Glimpse Lake, you know, kind of those ones up out of the connector there.
Okay. Yeah. So then if you had to look back, and obviously dad was an influence, but who would you cite as other influences? Like, is there anybody that's kind of helped your learning curve when it comes to fly fishing?
Yeah, definitely. And definitely when it comes to tying as well, you know, there's definitely the big ones, you know, Brian Chan, Phil Rowley, but, also some local guys, you know, when I was just getting into it, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, I would run into, you know, I'd run into Casey a lot, Casey Groves.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually bought some patterns off of him back in the day and just started slaying with the Chronomids. So that's kind of what sparked me getting into tying them myself.
Cool. So, like, how far, like, you know, so you start fly fishing, you're eight, you're kind of like learning a little bit as you go. But when you actually started tying, like, how old were you been then? Is this a few years later, I'm assuming?
I started tying when COVID hit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, 2020.
Well, that's quite amazing, because I look at your chironomid patterns and some of the stuff you're tying, whether it's with Togans or on your Instagram, and man, it looks like you've been doing it your whole life.
Oh, yeah, thank you. It's definitely been countless hours on the bench to achieve that, so. Yeah.
What is it you love about tying so much? Like, is it the focus it takes? Is it just kind of relaxing for you? What is it you love about tying?
And to be honest, it's that feeling of catching a fish on a fly that you tied yourself.
Hmm.
That's probably the biggest thing it does for me. But also, it's just the, I don't know, it's a great hobby, really.
Are you kind of self-taught? I mean, I know you mentioned Chan and whatnot, but I'm like, have you been just kind of picking this up off the internet? You know what I mean? Like off YouTube, or like, how have you been learning from day one?
Yeah. So actually, when I got into it, my best buddy, also my roommate, he was tying at the time, and he was my biggest fishing buddy. His name's Austin. And yeah, he started tying, and then I kind of wanted to do it. So I was talking to my dad, as I do, talking to him about fishing, and he said he had a old fly tying kit. So I pulled that thing out and went through all his old stuff, old brittle materials, snapping thread. And so that was tough. But, you know, like, there's so many people doing it online. So that's got to be where I learned the majority of my skills, you know, looking at guys like Stanton Jack, Phil Rowley, Trevor Tatarchuk.
Yeah, no, Trevor's dialed in. All those people are. Stanton's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Phil, what can you say? It's you're naming some names there, and I love it. It's good. I find tying has evolved so much, and it's such a visual thing. Like, I'm an older guy, like in my mid-50s. So if when I look back and I was learning, there was no YouTube. There was no. So we had books, and it's like, you know, when you open a book, it tells one story, but it doesn't tell a whole story. Well, you can actually watch somebody do it. You know, that must really improve, I think, the learning curve of a lot of younger generation tires.
Yeah, totally. I think that's the only reason that I've been able to progress so fast is all these videos and tutorials and everybody, you know, sharing their tips and secrets and stuff. So I'm really, really grateful for that.
So walk me through how you kind of hunt out these patterns. Are you, you know, on YouTube and just start Googling searching patterns, or like, how are you doing it exactly?
Yeah, well, it's mostly Instagram, honestly, and just guys I follow, and I'll just see, you know, what they are using and what's hot, and just stuff that works for them, and then I'll tie it, and it usually ends up being pretty successful for me.
You ever look at Sun Tao's patterns?
Yeah, he's actually unreal.
Oh, man. Yeah, that guy's crazy good.
Yeah.
Who's the other one? Lucas Utera or something like that? Yeah, okay, check him out. Oh, God. That one will just, you'll be like, holy smokes. Yeah, so it's like art, right? There's a difference between like somebody that's been tying to catch fish, and then some of these patterns I see combined with the photography, it's like the double whammy, you know, it's just beaut.
Yeah, totally.
Is that something you spend a lot of time doing, taking pics, obviously, of your patterns, obviously for Togans or just personal?
Yeah. It's I just take them with my phone. I actually have a... you go on Amazon and you get like one of those clip-on macro lenses, so you don't really need like a big old fancy camera, and you can get some pretty amazing shots.
Do you have to have it fixed? Like, do you kind of have it on some type of a vise, or are you just doing it freehand?
What do you mean there?
What I mean is like what I find is when I go macro, it's like you any little shake in your hand when you're taking a photo, it just the clarity kind of sucks. But it's like...
Oh yeah, definitely. I'll have you know, my chironomids in a cork on my desk, and then I will put my phone into I'll either lean it up or I have a tripod that I use. Cause yeah, any little shake and it'll just blur that photo.
Yeah. That's a good tip. What about background stuff? Are you one of those guys that has like some black kind of cardstock, or are you, what do you use when you take your pics?
Yeah. So usually with the macro photos, it like heavily blurs the background. So if you look at my Instagram, you can probably make out like a couple spools in the background, but for like a nice cleaner image, I like to use like a black poster board.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your Instagram, because that's how we kind of found each other. I think Lunk Slap. That name caught me.
Yeah. So that's a story in itself right there.
Well, let's go there.
Yeah. So my dad would always call a big fish, he'd call it a lunker, right?
Sure.
And that's, you know, common. And my friend one day, he was just like, yeah, like, let's go out on the weekend. Let's go slap some fat lunkers. And I was like, that's great. So yeah, we started saying that, and I was looking for a name for my tie and stuff. And I was like, you know, slap lunkers, lunk slap.
Love
it. Fits. Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, man. So I want to take some time to get to know your story. You ready for a few questions to kind of get to know your day to day?
Definitely. Let's do it.
Let's talk tunes, man. So if you're headed to your favorite spot, what's playing in the truck en route?
Most likely it's going to be some, 90s hip hop, 90s. Yeah.
90s like was a good Eminem. What are we talking about here?
No, I'm talking like, you know, like Wu-Tang, Tribe Called Quest, you know, like Mobb Deep, some of those guys.
Okay. Cool.
And, my dad is a big record collector. So I was also raised on, you know, stuff like The Clash, The Talking Heads, The Police, guys like Neil Young, Paul Simon, stuff like that. So there's always some of that on my playlist.
That's pretty diverse musical interests. I love it.
Yeah, I'm all over the place with my music. Yeah. So there's no telling what's going to come on shuffle there.
I kind of like that. Yeah. One go-to fly pattern, Zach. So if you look in that fly box, you're hitting your favorite still. And I know this is timing specific on the time of year, but what's one pattern that you go to more often than not?
It's a little pattern I like to call the rotten pumpkin head. And it's a color variation, obviously, on John Kent's pumpkin head, but it's tied with a chartreuse bead, chartreuse hackle. And the body is peacock ice dove in black.
Mm.
And a like a sculpin and olive tail.
I want to check that out. So is that on your Instagram?
Yeah, it's probably got a couple posts there, but it's honestly unreal how well that thing's done for me.
I think I saw you. Did you post that on Stillwaters recently? Or am I?
Most likely, I think.
Yeah,
so.
I think I saw it there.
Maybe. Yeah.
I love it. Is that not a great site too, Stillwaters, for all things still and patterns?
Oh,
and
it's amazing. It's amazing. Just the community is so so great. Yeah.
Where's your favorite place to talk fishing when you're not out there, Zach? So if you're, you know, if it's, you know, say February and nothing's open, you know, there's no open water, you're either at the vice, but if you want to get your fix, is there a shop locally you're hitting? Is it social media? Where do you get your fill?
It's, I gotta say, it's 80% social media, just through Instagram there. But I love going into the shop, going into Trout Waters, and just chatting with whoever will talk to me. You know, I'll go and talk to Bob, or yeah. I'm really tight with Bryson, who works there.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. He's a good buddy.
Yeah, they got some good folks in there. It's always so knowledgeable, right? And that, yeah. Tying section's a little scary when I get in there. It's what I call a time vortex. You just get in there and it's like next thing you know, it's a couple hours later and you're a couple $100 lighter in the wallet. But
yeah, definitely. If I can leave there under $100, I'm happy.
Yeah. So next thing, I like to talk about sports a little bit. So if you're a sports guy, if so, like, who's your team? Who are you cheering for?
Yeah, so I'm not like huge into it, but I do got to say I'm a Vancouver Canucks fan.
First win last night. the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, that was a great game. Great game.
I actually was worried when I called you tonight. I thought the Oilers are playing. If he's an Oilers fan, he's probably watching the game right now.
Yeah, no.
It's hard in the playoffs, man. There's always something good on.
Yeah, for sure. And then I'd say, like, by default, I'm an LA Rams fan because my dad is. And, you know, if he's watching, I'm watching. So,
yeah, they've had a good team the last few years and just kind of came out on the short end of the stick. But,
yeah,
that Detroit game was something.
Right.
Yeah. Love it. Why do you think you do all this? Like, what I mean by that, Zach, is there something that fly fishing or fly tying specifically does for you? Does it bring something into your world?
It's like such a calmness, you know, in this crazy busy world. You know, you just come home and you whip up a couple flies and your brain shuts off, and the only thing you're really thinking about is, you know, what are the fish going to be eating on the weekend, or yeah, just stuff like that. And then you get out on the water and same thing, you know, your brain just kind of shuts off and you forget about all that stuff you're dealing with, and you're just out there with your buddies and your beer and you're on the boat catching fish.
I always like talking jobs too. So you've been driving a forklift quite a few years, but now you're with Mountain View Building. But are you doing your best gig to date so far?
I'd say, yeah, I really like the company I'm with right now. Yeah.
Cool. Is there anything you've done in your past that you're like, man, I don't want to do that? Like, if you had to say a worse job without slamming anybody, is there anything you're like, man, I don't want to do that again?
Yeah, I got a few. I worked at a pre-hung door shop.
Okay.
And that was just the amount of production, you know, it was just crazy. So I don't think I'd do anything like that again. Jeez. Stay away kind of from the production.
I suck at hanging doors.
It's yeah, you got to get your measurements bang on. You're going to hear about it.
Yeah, it's my carpentry is very crude. It's right. Not, yeah, cool. Well, let's talk about what you do day to day right now. Like, so for Mountain View Building, you're basically you're moving around building supplies all day, loading up trucks. What are you doing for the most part?
Yeah, we really focus on decking. So we are a big supplier of composite decking. So, you know, you got your Trex and your Fibron and your TimberTech, all that composite kind of stuff. And then we do like strictly pressure treated lumber for decks, really.
Cool. Yeah. That composite decking, that stuff lasts forever, doesn't it?
Yep, it lasts forever and it won't fade on you, and it's relatively easy to install.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Let's take it to the tying bench for a little bit. So how long have you been with the staff at Togan's Pro Staff?
I think I joined Togan's in like October 2022.
Okay.
Somewhere around there, in and around there.
It's sure a good company over the years. I've sure enjoyed watching their, whether it's tying tutorials or, you know, their materials list is always pretty long and pretty solid, and their hooks. But how do you like working with those guys?
Yeah, it's great. It's a great, great opportunity working with those guys. You know, they post my stuff. I tie with their materials, and it helps that their materials are just wicked, man.
What are you tying a lot of? Like, are you a big chironomid / leech? Sounds like you're tying a few of those. What'd you call them? Rotting pumpkin heads?
Yeah, the rotten pumpkin.
Rotten. Yeah, I like that. I have to check that out, actually. I have not fished that. But What are you spending most of your time tying up?
Yeah, it's mostly chironomids, man. And big into the balanced leeches, too. I like to tie my balanced leeches like classic bin balanced. With the regular bead instead of the head turners. But I do like a good head turner for, you know, like a damsel pattern or something that you kind of want to strip back in and hang a little horizontal there.
Yeah. So are you tying these fairly sparse for the most part? You made that sound a little bit lighter maybe. Like, are you tying the body sparse?
For a damsel there?
No, sorry, for your leech patterns.
Oh yeah, like I'll have a variety for sure, but I do like to try and keep my leeches pretty sparse.
What kind of body material are you using on those?
I really like Ice Dub.
Yeah.
Ice Dub's probably my go-to there.
So now when you put this ice dub on, are you going, do you use like a dubbing tool and then wrap it? Or are you actually, dubbing it on by hand? How do you put the dubbing on?
So I'll do a dubbing loop and use a twister and twist it up. But if I'm doing something, say with a like a it's gonna have a hackle and a rib over it, I will just twist it onto the thread.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then do you comb it with some type of brush to kind of make it kind of flare out?
Yeah, I got a handy little Velcro brush. Just made it out of a popsicle stick and some
Yeah,
Velcro.
I did the same thing.
That's all you really need.
Do you dip them in boiling or hot water like some guys do?
I don't. I've tried. I don't really think it's too necessary unless you want them to look like really pretty in your box, but
Right.
once you wash them in the lake, they'll straighten out.
Yeah. What's your go-to color when it comes to these balanced leeches? Like, if you had to pick one color combo, what would it be?
Green, man.
Green, like an
Green.
olive kind of green, or
Like an olive. I really like the sculpin olive for tailing. Like a sculpin olive marabou.
okay.
So yeah, I'd say green. I have a lot of leech variations in green that I use that I do pretty well with.
Now, is the body material the same color as, say, the olive tail, or is it different colors?
Yeah, totally. I have a few that are, same color all the way through, and then I have a few that are, different shades of green all the way through. It really just depends.
I find fishing balanced leeches fascinating. It's kind of something that's always in my fly box, and it's something that I love it, Zach, when you get to the lake and it's like no hatches are happening. So it's like, the water temperature's still cold, and when we chase it in elevation, it's like, it's the valley bottom, it could be 20 degrees and you're like, oh, it's great. And then you get up higher and it's cool, and the water temperature is probably like 45 and nothing's going on. That's when those leeches really are money.
Yeah, I love it. Or even on like a overcast kind of rainy day, there's not much of a hatch going on. Throw out a balanced leech and just you let it marinate until that bobber goes down.
Let's talk about your tying setup. Like, are you a Semperfly thread guy? Are you UTC? Are you what do you like to tie with for the thread?
I'm a UTC kind of, unfortunately, just because they're a little bit inconsistent, and I've kind of been experimenting with some Semperfly, classic waxed 8-aught, and I'm really liking that. So I think I'm slowly moving away from UTC and going towards Semperfly for it, thread at least.
I always find it fascinating talking thread because everyone's got their go-tos. I know I love UTC myself, but
It just it's hard to beat how flat it lays,
yeah.
and you can get those crannies just so skinny.
Yeah, no, for chironomids for sure, 100%. Now what are you throwing on these? Are you like a magic brown tungsten bead on the crannies? Are you black nickel mostly? What are your cranny go-tos?
My most common ones, I have three, so I'll do white, brown magic, and black nickel.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
Do you
yeah.
fish a lot of white beads?
I do, yeah.
Okay. I used to, and I kind of found that they weren't as productive the past few years, but maybe, if it's a stained kind of lake where tea colored, with lily pads, I find that a lot of times the white bead's good, but some of the clearer waters that we're fishing, I just find sometimes, I don't know what it is. It's like, yeah, they stand out, but sometimes you don't want it to stand out too much,
Right, yeah, totally. I will I'll use them mostly when the water's like tea stained. Yeah.
What kind of ice are you tying on?
I tie with a Renzetti Apprentice right now, but I'm
Nice.
looking to get up to the Traveler. because that seems like the most popular thing out right now.
Yeah, they're pretty handy for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on one, I don't know, for 5 years or so. I really like it.
Yeah, I mean, the Apprentice, you know, it's still got your rotary and
yeah,
everything you need, really. So I just haven't upgraded.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you, you know, clamp it on the table or put it in the pedestal?
It's on the clamp.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Do you travel with it when you go fishing? Do you take it to the lake or take it to the, you know, if you're camping, take it with you?
Yeah, I definitely do. Yeah, it's really handy to have your vise and at least a little travel kit with a couple threads in it.
Well, $1 million question. How do you decide what to take when you look at your bench and you go, okay, you know, I know you got to take the staples, but how do you decide what materials?
You really don't, man. You just pick and you hope that's what's coming off. And usually you're up at the lake and you're kicking yourself because you forgot your blue nun.
That's a go-to. I do love blue dun for a lot of patterns.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Huh. What about tools? Is there a specific type of bobbin you like to use? What are you on for that?
I got Togan's ceramic bobbins, and they've been great.
Cool.
Yeah, most of my materials, you know, my scissors, bobbins, hackle pliers, they're all Togans.
What's your latest creation coming off the bench? What's the last thing you put on there?
Last thing I put on, I was tying some really small chromy black ribs, some ASB black ribs, but I wanted them to have a little bit of sauce to them, so I put a strand of ice blue flashaboo under there, so it would have a little bit of a shine to it.
Man, that sounds like money.
Yeah, it's well, I do really well with a bigger, like maybe like a size 16 ASB with a Mirage Opal stretched under it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to move down a size, but keep that profile really slim. So that flashaboo is great for doing that.
So what size is this, an 18 or a 20? What are we talking here?
I was tying on a 22X.
Yeah. That's a curved nymph hook from Togan.
Yeah. Curved nymph.
That's my go-to, man. I tie on those things. That's pretty much my favorite chronomid hook.
They're great. They're great.
I like the way they just represent for me the proportions of a chronomid better than a lot of hooks.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And I like the way the beads go on. I've got some where it's like almost like the curve is too abrupt and I struggle with the beads, but those ones, as long as you pinch the barb, you can put any, you know, I can go to right down to, what are they, 1/16, 1.5 millimeters on those size 20s. That's my go-to lately. And I think...
Yeah, for sure. That's what I was doing. That's what I was doing there. And that's what that's the size of the bugs that have been coming off lately, at least on the waters that I've been fishing. So, you know, you got to tie them up.
I was fishing with a buddy the other day and he was kicking my butt, but he was tying super small. And he knows what he's doing. He's always fishing chronomids, but same, very similar type pattern to what you just mentioned, actually. So you kind of caught my attention when you said that. But I think a lot of times early season, we tend to go, okay, chronomids are off. You grab the old size 14 and it looks like a friggin' dinosaur compared to what's actually coming off. If you can downsize it, right?
Yeah, you got size 22s coming off and there's no way you're tying that small. At least I don't tie that small.
You got a swivel ahead of that chronomid?
Yeah, a swivel, probably about 2 feet up from that chronomid.
2 feet. How big of a swivel? Like, are we talking like a size 10 here? Do you smaller, bigger?
I'm not sure what size. I went in, I buy the packs that they just say, like, you know, micro swivel.
Yeah. Yeah, those are small. I know.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah.
What kind of lead are you using?
Scientific Anglers.
Is it fluoro?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what about going up to your swivel? Is that also fluoro?
Yeah, also fluoro, yeah. I build my leaders out of straight fluoro.
Okay, so normally what pound test would you be from your Indy to the swivel? Oh, are you building them tapered? What are you doing there?
No, not build them tapered. I like them, same size throughout, so they sit nice and level. I'd
Yeah,
say,
like straight it.
like a 4X, 6.7 pound does me just fine.
Okay. And that's scientific. It's funny. So the other day we're on a lake and we're fishing the same fly, the same depth, same area. I'm talking like few feet apart. And buddies slaying them and other buddies not doing anything. So I'm going, okay, the only difference here is the leader. It's got to be. But I don't know. Like sometimes I get really weird with that stuff. It's like, what is the difference today? You know, it's not always the fly. And I know that's the easiest thing. It's like, what's the fly, or it's the size of the fly, or it's the depth of the fly. But sometimes I get hung up on that leader. It's like, man, I feel confident with certain leader materials. And yeah, no, I always like asking that question. So you're sitting there. Are you double anchored on these lakes, or how are you fishing them?
Yeah, definitely. Double anchored, back to the wind, casting out.
Yeah. Two rods or one?
Two rods.
Oh, geez.
Yep, it's usually me and my dog in the boat and two rods out the side.
What's your dog's name?
My dog's name is Penny.
And Penny is black lab.
She is a Aussie Shepherd mini heeler cross,
Aussie
and
Shepherd
she's
mini.
about a year and a half.
Oh, that's cool. And does she like
Yeah.
being in the boat?
She loves it, man. She loves staring at indicators just as much as I do.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And so what kind of boat are you fishing out of? Is it like a, one of the new flat bottomed pram type boats, or?
No, I haven't gotten there. Haven't got that far yet. I have an old 12-foot Sears V-Hull.
Oh yeah. Yep. There's a lot of those around.
Oh yeah. They're all right if you're standing in the back, but if you got somebody in the front, it gets a little
Yeah.
rocky.
Yeah, I made that transition to a Journey, maybe 9'6". I don't know. I want to say five. I'm bad with time. Probably 5 years ago.
Oh yeah.
Maybe four. It's killer. I love it. And
It's
they're all, whether it's a Marlin or a Spratly, man, those are pretty sweet boats. But you know what? If you're out there with your V-Haul and it starts gusting a little bit, you're probably in a better position than I am, you know?
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm definitely looking into the whole flat bottom. I just got to figure out what I want to go with.
Yeah.
There's so many options.
More room for the dog too.
Yeah, totally. She bounces around a lot.
Let's get back to the tine a little bit. So, is there anything you want to talk about that we haven't talked about yet? Like, is there anything, obviously being sponsored by Togans, you're tying up a lot of patterns and posting a lot of patterns, but you know something I find, what's that? Is that a lighter I hear? What's that noise?
No, sorry, I'm just fidgeting with
Oh,
something.
I wonder what that was. Thought I heard a lighter going.
No.
Let's talk about, and this is something that I get stuck on sometimes, but UV resin. Do you use it, or are you Sally Hansen's? What do you coat your chironomids with?
Yeah, so I was for about the last year, I've been really into the Raid Zap Super Thin, but the other day I found a bottle of crazy glue and I put it on one of my cronies and I was fishing last weekend just slaying fish and it held up to about 11.
Wow.
So I'm kind of thinking that I'm gonna switch over to the old crazy glue here.
Is it the brush on one?
It's actually not. It's just the one in the small bottle, but it goes on and it just kind of you just kind of use the nozzle or the tip or whatever and just move it around a little bit and
Yeah.
it levels out quite nice.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I tried that Raid Zap too. It was good. I just recently made a move. I've been using Loon Flow, but I tried Gulf, one of the Gulf products, and I quite liked
Oh
it
yeah.
too.
Yeah, I've used the Gulf Thin Man. It was a really good bottle.
Yeah. Oh, Flex Man, now that you say that, that's what it is. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that would be great for like the head on a dragonfly or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not
With a
sure.
little flex to it.
Well, you know why I bought it? I saw this guy where I was at, I forget his name now, but it was at the show in Seattle, Bellevue actually. the fly fishing show. And he was tying up these extended body mayflies, and he was tying them on. So basically it's like a trailing tail, like in those mays, and it was very rubbery. And I'm like, what kind of UV is that? And so he put me onto this, but it was like a flexible one. But
oh, that's sweet. Yeah, those extended body mays. I saw this YouTube video. I think it was Barry Odd Clark.
Oh, guy. Yeah. Around the
he
needle.
He was tying a bunch of those. Yeah, around the needle. And oh, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I've been experimenting with that. It's those guys make it look easier than it is, I think.
They do, yeah. I've yet to try my hand at it, but I think I want to take a stab.
Well, he showed me how he did it. So he took like a needle, like a sewing needle, and put it, like bigger than a sewing needle, but like that, and mm-hmm. put it in his vise, waxed it up so it was totally waxed with dubbing, like for dubbing. And mm-hmm. then basically just took a little bit of dubbing and just held it and turned it and made like a cone. Like, and it was really cool. Then he took a lighter to it and then just zapped it and just pulled it off. And I was like, wow, that looks real. But, that's the thing I love, man. There's so many rabbit holes you can jump into in the time.
Yeah, there is. It's, it's crazy.
You tied any Wally wings? Speaking of Barry Ord Clark, try those yet? Wally
no,
wings?
I don't know what I don't know if I know what that is.
Oh God. Well, that's when, it takes a little doing, but I've been experimenting with it and I need to do more, but you basically take the quill and it turns into a perfect mayfly looking, wing. But you've got to, I'll send you a link. It's pretty cool to watch, but,
yeah, awesome.
Yeah. There's just so many. It's an old traditional way of doing it, but it looks very, very realistic.
Okay, yeah. Those older patterns, just, you know, tried and true.
Yeah, for sure. What's an older pattern that you, like, you know, I hear people talk about 52 Buicks or Doc Spratleys, or is there any patterns that are kind of retro that you still use now?
Man, I'm glad you asked that. I am a firm believer in the New Flake Special.
I don't even know what that is. What is a
new flake special? I think the original term for it was the bazooka fly.
Okay.
It's like, it almost looks like a bigger spratly, but you're using that, that golden pheasant tippet, you know, that orange and black barring.
Yeah.
And then you kind of tie the body like you would, a woolly bugger with the, that fuzzy chenille there.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple wraps of like a hackle feather in the front. Yeah, it's a really good fly.
I love it. We got Zach Tyson on the line, a pro staff with Togan's Fly Shop. He's in Region 8 out of Kelowna, BC. Just trying to get to know your day-to-day. Why don't you paint us a picture, Zach, of your perfect day? So if you could have everything kind of line up just the way you wanted, whether you got the dog in the boat or the sun's just, you know, coming up in the morning, you're throwing crannies, indies, or whatever. You tell us. Paint us a picture. What does your perfect day look like?
All right, yeah. Me and my buddies, we got this one kind of secret little lake up well, it's a secret, so I can't tell you. But it's
that's the spirit.
It's about 80% of it is probably about 7 feet, and then it's got a really deep hole about 30. So we usually park up right on that shoal, and it's just it's a total crony lake, man. So yeah, my perfect day is just throwing crannies with some good friends and lots of laughs, lots of fish.
Are you guys,
that's all I really ask for.
You guys a lot of times kind of fish the same area, kind of anchor up and try to figure it out, or what does that look like?
Yeah, we try. If we can't figure it out, you know, we're all over the lake and somebody will hit a fish and then we'll all kind of gravitate towards them. And
yeah, I love it.
Figure it out that way.
Is there something cold to drink?
More often than not, yeah.
Yeah. I always ask if there's campfire, but these days it's like the window's so small because of fire season.
Yeah.
But have you had anything weird happen to you in your time on the water? Like any kind of weird wildlife stories or encounters out there?
Yeah. Just last year we were watching this, this bald eagle. He was dive bombing this pair of loons. He was trying to get one, and the loon would be, you know, it would be mid call, and then it would, the eagle would dive, and the loon would go under the water, and it'd make a really, really funny sound. That one was, that was pretty cool. Nice. Other than that, it's just been, you know, close encounters with, beavers coming up to the boat and slamming their tail.
Yeah, they get mad.
Yeah, they get really mad.
Yeah, especially if they got little ones.
Or just the classic, you know, loon stealing your fish.
Yeah.
That's always fun, yeah.
Are you a big gearhead? Like, in other words, like, your fly rod, is there a specific, you know, company you like to fish with? Are you all over the map? What do you, talk gear a little bit. What are you using?
Man, I might get some hate for this, but I'm the total opposite. Like, I believe that it's not really all up to your gear. You know, it definitely helps to have the latest and greatest, but I think the two fly rods I got now, they're older Reddingtons, and I got them at the pawn shop.
Mm-hmm.
And my two reels that I use, mostly, they're from Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've been just fine.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I do have some decent fly rods for sure, but I'm with you. It's for me, I get more focused on the patterns and trying to create, mm-hmm. you know, when you look at the entomology and you're like, okay, or you've got your throat sample and you're like, man, what do I have that looks like this?
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Do you find the entomology part of it interesting?
Yeah, I'm always trying to get the clearest photo I can of a throat sample and trying to match it up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really into it. It's just so fascinating, you know, what bugs are there and what they're doing and what they eat and stuff like that. So that's kind of the rabbit holes that I fall down is on the entomology side.
Do you sell your patterns at all, or do you just tie for the fun of it?
I tie for the fun of it. I tried, but it's just not, I'm just not a commercial tire, really.
Yeah, no, I get
it's,
that.
It's tough. There are a few people out there that have some of my flies. I've done a couple of orders, but nothing crazy.
Favorite material to work with? Is there a material from Togans that you're like, man, this is the bomb?
Favorite material from Togans.
I know you said you like the ice dubbing.
Yeah, ice dubbing's great. Oh, you know what I like from Togans? They have a spooled flash. It's called gray spooled, and it's the closest thing I can find to the old 6916 gunmetal.
Oh, that's a good tip.
Yeah.
People literally want to find that flashaboo so bad, it's not even funny.
Oh yeah, so if anybody's out there looking for that, I totally recommend the gray spooled flash.
Did you say 6969?
No, 6916.
6916.
Yeah.
I'm looking on my wall here because I never remember the numbers, but
right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna look that one up. I want to see what that looks like. That looks cool.
Yeah, totally. That's the old gunmetal that everybody raves about.
Yeah, it's funny how those colors, and like you'd mentioned Blue Dun, same thing, right? And then all of a sudden something changes or they discontinue something. It's like, man, how do I get more of that, right?
Yeah, I'm currently trying to get a few spools of the OG Blue Dun. You know, it's a little less blue, a little more gray.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed
that's
that
a tough
has
one to find.
That's moved over the years a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fascinating. You think the fish care? I wonder sometimes if it's just us thinking that we get so comfortable with something, but and then that's
it's totally just us, man. The fish don't care.
But that's kind of cool, don't you think, Zach, when you're like, okay, like that material you just mentioned, I found this and I tied this on a chronomid and it's gotten, I tried this blue underlay. So if you underlay different things underneath something on top, the you know, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, like the blue dun I use right now, it's that newer stuff, so it's a little bit more blue. But what I do is I'll tie in a gray thread, and then I'll make my taper. Then I'll attach that blue dun, and it's the UTC, so I'll spin it really flat and do just one wrap of that, so that gray kind of shows through. Okay. Almost. That's... and it doesn't look as blue.
It's funny. I talk to a lot of tires, but I can tell you tie so that you can catch more fish, if that makes sense. Like the way you're talking about crownment patterns there, I totally get what you're saying. You're just trying to find that, represent that kind of just that little bit of glitter as a, you know, an emergence, as a crownament pupa starting to emerge and they're starting to gas up. I know exactly what you're doing there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, right. I try and tie them like as natural as I can, but there is the, you know, time and place for, you know, like a laser silver, tinsel body with a,
yeah,
like a holographic rib and a white bead and maybe a little bit of a hot orange on there.
Hey, 30 years ago, we wouldn't have all these colors. It's like you're either fishing a chromie, you're fishing a black. And maybe you'd fish a green. You know what I mean?
It's like a, like a peacock curl.
Yeah, look, exactly.
Like a pheasant tail, yeah.
Yeah, and that's retro. I'm sure it still works. I just find that in my brain that some of these newer materials just look way more realistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I try and tie this one that it's kind of halfway between one of those older pheasant tail chironomids and also maybe could look like a mayfly. So that's what I also like, is like suggestive patterns. So you're throwing out something that could look like three or four things.
Yeah. I think a lot of very successful fly fishers employ that very tactic.
Yeah, totally.
If you were talking to somebody that wants to get into tying and is just kind of starting their journey, what kind of tips would you give them? Where would you tell them to start?
You know, I would say if you're wanting to get into tying, hit up Togan's for their, they got a beginner's fly tying kit. You know, everything you need in there to get started. And then I would suggest, you know, watching tutorials on YouTube. And it comes down to hours at the vise.
Mm-hmm.
Hours and hours at the vise.
How long did it take you when you first started to figure out a whip finish?
A long time. I would, I'd be tying in my room. And my roommate would be in his room playing video games, but he started tying before me. So I'd finish my fly and then I'd run it into his room and I'd say, "Hey, can you put a whip finish on this?" And he'd whip finish it for me.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. It definitely took a while for me to, learn a whip finish.
Yeah. That one took me a while too, for some reason.
That's tricky.
Well, it's that whole flight time, right? It's like if you don't do it, you don't learn. So it's like I used to half hitch it, and man, the whip finish is so easy once you get the hang of it.
Yeah, I thought I learned how to do it, but I figured out I was doing it backwards.
Okay.
So I had to relearn how to do it correctly.
Good stuff, man. Well, listen, Zach, I wish you a great season on the H2O, man. It's been nice chatting, and you and I are hop, skipping, a jump from each other. We should probably chase some fins at some point. But thanks for sharing some time with us today.
Yeah, hey, no problem. It was great talking to you, Mark. And yeah, I hope we end up sharing the same water someday soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Mm-hmm. You've been listening tonight to a chat with Zach Tyson, pro staff at Togan's Fly Shop. Zach's out of Kelowna, British Columbia, Canada. Thanks for joining us, folks, this time around. We'll catch you next time.
The Fly Fishing 97 podcast is brought to you by theflycrate.com. Thank you for listening to the Fly Fishing 97 podcast. Your feedback matters. Let us know if there's a person or topic you'd like discussed. Email us at mark@flyfishing97.com. Until next time, tight lines, and we'll see you on the water.